Hey everybody, and welcome along to this week's edition of the Irish Golfer Podcast, brought to you in association with Flowgas, supporting Irish golf at every level, from Golf Ireland right up to supporting our touring professionals. Peter Finnan here, and joined in studio by Ronan McNamara. How are you, Ronan?
How are we? I'm all good.
You well?
I am well.
Been a few weeks since we've sat down together to do this.
Yeah, I nearly didn't recognise the place when I walked in. The simulator kind of took me by surprise.
Neither did I. It's been nearly a month since I've set foot in the office, all the travelling, messing around, working from home, like. But no, good to be back, good to be back. Where do we start with all this?
Gotta start with Don't Stop Believing.
Yeah, that's, do you know what, actually, yeah, for the day that's in it.
Oh no.
No, we're actually not gonna sing. It was good, it's the only thing people will remember though. It was really good. Wait, here, I'll kill it now. Just a small town
girl. You were struggling there.
I was struggling, yeah. I don't know what would happen. My fingers are too fat, need a dial-in wand. Yeah, Zurich Classic in New Orleans. We'll get stuck into the golf bit first, then talk about the celebration. So actually watched a fair bit of this. I was interested in it just because the two lads were there. Not a clue who half the players in the field were. Like,
no. And this is one of those things where a lot of people come up to me saying on the DP World Tour they can't watch it because they don't know who anybody is. And I kind of half agree with them without buying into it. But after watching this, I get it now. Who the hell are these guys?
It was a boring cup job.
it was awful.
Just dump the panels in. No, but like, We'll get into the ins and outs of what it is, right? There was a lot at stake for this.
There was a lot at stake for Larry, when you look at what he's after getting.
Yeah.
You realise how big it is.
But a lot at stake for anyone playing in it, really. Like, so do you have the stats on... Exactly. So, yeah, first prize, $1.3 million each. So they don't even split that. Two-year exemption to the tour means nothing to Rory, means a lot to Shane. 400 FedEx points and invitations to the PGA Championships, and the big thing is the three remaining signature events and the 2025 players. So for Rory, it's all irrelevant.
Yeah, it's just another day at the office.
Yeah, it's a bit of crack. It was a good week. Yeah. Larry needed this because he's coming near the end of his five-year exemption for majors. He needed to climb the FedEx Cup. The 400 points are massive. Like, he's up to 12th on the FedEx Cup ranking.
Yeah, that puts the Tour Championship right on your radar then as well.
Yeah, no, and he's never played in the Tour Championship.
No, so it's a massive.
Mad.
It was a massive week for him, and especially getting the three signature events, because he was relying on invites for those. He got an invite for the Arnold Palmer Invitational. We all saw
Rory
or there.
Mastercard. One
yeah, honestly, which, like so, like, this was big. He can actually plan out his schedule for the summer. Like, his family going home to Ireland, I suppose he can go home to Ireland now for a couple of weeks, put the feet up at some stage during the summer as well. And it just makes it easier then for himself to prepare for the majors as well. Now that he's just purely focused on big events, he doesn't have to, you know, go to sort of the smaller PGA Tour events and, you know, kind of struggle to get up for those as well, as we all know. So, no, it was big rewards for something that didn't really look like much of an event.
It was just good to see them both. I'm not going to say in full flow, because neither of them really played their, like, they didn't have to do anything spectacular to win this tournament. Like, lads dropped off.
Yeah.
And the lead was posted. I did actually feel sorry for Trainer and Ramey, because like, they posted their 63 3 hours.
Easy to go back out after 3 hours. Like,
it was a long time. So Shane and Rory came in fresh, and for a pair to win it in the playoff was a big deal. But like, yeah, like, whatever you do to beat the teams that are in front, you can only beat what's in front of you. They did make a little bit of a job in it. Like, Shane hit some, he'll be disappointed with some of the shots he hit down the stretch, but like, it's winning golf at the end of the day. Like, he admitted himself, he like came in with a new putter this week. He's a spider. I think, did he have a spider in the bag?
He had a spider in the bag. Yeah,
spider in the bag. I don't know. Was that the week that was in it? It was just like a tailor-made.
Yeah, it probably made sense to try it that week as well. But it's funny, it was one of those tournaments, the first 3 days, I was keeping an eye on it without really caring. And then Sunday comes round, I think they fell for 4 or 5 shots off the pace early doors. I was like, right, to hell with this, I'm gone. Then they started clawing it back, and it's like, I don't really care, but I do care at the same time. And then it got like really tense. And I think the foursomes format helped that as well. Like,
yeah,
both players had to really combine and help each other through it. And honestly, I actually came away from it thinking, this is a grand little event to have the week after a major where, like, no one really gives a shit.
Yeah.
Which it's a shame they couldn't swap that with the RBC heritage. But no, it was just a real kind of feel-good week. And it was nice, as you said, to see the two lads playing together and like having fun as well. Like, there was a real feel-good element to it, which then again itself made it more watchable.
Yeah, I really liked and I enjoyed the event, and I enjoyed the storylines of other guys who, like, for want of a better way, are kind of career nobodies or looking to knock on the door, or guys that have been knocking on the door for years have never got through, and then new players coming through. That's what this tournament's for, and it's kind of McIlroy and Lowry have exploited a little loophole here for Shane's benefit to get him, and he knew this trump card was there all year, and he just hoped that they showed up and performed. Like, you're still getting like Xander Schauffele and Cantley and guys like that playing in this, so like they're not the only ones looking at this for getting out there and having a bit of fun and getting reps or doing it for different reasons. But like, what McIlroy and Lowry's incentive this week was very different than like a Ramey and a Trainer or a Breham Hubbard and Stevens Barjon. I don't know what, but like it's one of the areas that I think I'm coughing up a lung here.
It was one of those where if they turn up and play well, 9 times out of 10 they probably should win that event.
And they nearly didn't.
Yeah, it would have been.
They
funny.
Nearly didn't. Like, yeah,
it was, but like, it's like the one handicapper and the going out with the 17 handicapper in Barton Cup, knowing if the bandit turns up, you should be all right.
It was a bit Barton Cup-y though. It wasn't like coming down the stretch with some of the shots that were hit. Like, some of the shots hit, and I know the wind was strong, and like people in glass houses shouldn't be throwing stones, but like the tee shots on 16 and 17 more so.
Oh, some
boys
of the shots
were just
17.
Lamping them right into the crowd. Like, let's not go into the water. Let's carve it out here.
I felt sorry for your man Fishburne. Yeah. When his partner doubled the par 3 17th. It was like, as they all crumbled, I was like, didn't know you for too long, but it's been good. Never see you again. Yeah. Good luck.
I really think, though, like, I'm delighted the lads won, and I'm really happy for Shane, more so, that, like, he now can plan, like you're saying, he's 2 years. Like, Shane's going to be, well, he's 37 now, so this gets him 2 years exemption, 25, 26, takes him right up to his 40s nearly, with a full card, full schedule, into all the signature events now as well for the rest of the year. He will turn Hay now, the pressure's off. He's that type of player. I think he'll do a bit of damage on a few things, and he'll sort himself out. And I just, this event, it leaves a bit of a sour taste in my mouth, that I wish the PGA Tour would do two of these a year. And like, don't allow the players from the top 50 on last year's FedEx Cup to play in it, because it's a really good access point into signature events, and it just creates such drama.
Yeah,
like, I don't know what your thoughts on that are.
Well, funnily enough, I prefer the mixed event that they run kind of in the off season. I think that's a great format. So I think there's definitely scope for more team events. And you look at what Liv has done with their team stuff, and, you know, all that kind of jazz and the celebratory stuff. I think there's a market there for the PGA Tour to really kind of tap in on and have more team things, have more of those sort of feel-good weeks. You know, it's a bit of crack. It's not so much not a hit and giggle per se, but, you know, that kind of event.
Yeah. Rory just brought the juice this week. That's the thing. It's like, without Rory in this event, I don't think anybody would have watched it.
Yeah.
That's been perfectly, well, like, I don't think anyone in this office would have watched it.
No.
Even, like, the last time Lowry played in this event was with Ian Poulter back in the day, like, when that's, like, 2-3 seasons ago at this stage. But it's, it's a breath of fresh air. It's hard to believe when they're putting all the stats up, like, Rory's 25th win, and it's a new record for him and all that. But, like, when they actually put up what Shane Lowry has won on the PGA Tour since when he got his card, like, you know, you're talking well over a decade of stuff on the PGA Tour. Just how much, and I hate saying that he's underachieved, because he's such a talented player.
Yeah, but like, now it's 7 professional wins, but that's nowhere near enough, I think, for someone of his ability.
His ability is,
he could easily
charts,
be in
yeah.
the teens for yeah, wins. Yeah. On both tours, not just PGA Tour alone, obviously.
Yeah, and there's nothing to say that he won't get a cluster of wins now, over the next year, you know, so the way that he won't, and it, like, I'm sure he'll still drop back and play a little bit on the European Tour as well on the DP World Tour. So it's good. But yeah, I just hope it frees up Shane, because he's admitted himself so openly. He's struggled on the greens. He's struggled with a few things. And it's so frustrating for him to see him playing the golf that he has played and not getting any rewards for it. And then, like, he needed Rory really to step up and help him this week. Rory did. But it's the dynamic of the two of them. They need each other. That's a mad thing. For different, very different reasons, it comes across to me that they need each other. Like, Rory, Shane needs Rory, and Rory has delivered for Shane now. He's helped him. He's cemented as a team into what they're doing. This is a great outlook for the Olympics now as well. Like, we're only a couple of months away from the Olympics. Two boys going, like, they will be full of beans going to Paris.
Yeah, yeah, and that's another little nugget then added on to this tournament. With the Olympics being in the summer, you do kind of look towards that as well. It's just cool watching the two lads play together. Like, they look like they had great fun, great week, and they dovetailed actually pretty nicely, to be fair. I know Rory kind of bailed Shane out on the last day, but Shane definitely played his part the first 3 days.
Yeah, his short game was off the charts. One thing, some of the shots that were hit, some of the pitch shots Lowry hit, the recovery shots, even coming down the stretch yesterday, like, the Rory hit, like, a Barton Cup shot on the 16th, put it into the bunker right when he was laying up on an iron.
Yeah, I was starting to think here, oh my God, if you actually crumble in an event like this, you just forget really about it.
But, like, the approach shot that Shane hit out of the bunker was off the charts, like, and Rory rolls the putt in, like, and that was momentum they needed after. But, can you imagine, like, if these lads do damage at the Olympics, can you imagine the celebration? Like, Larry come out and openly admit exactly what he wants, what he's about. Like, he's spoken about the Olympics in the last week and how much it would mean and what he would do. Like, I think Shane puts an Olympic gold medal alongside a major, which is very
Shane
few
would,
players.
Yeah.
Very few players would.
Like, we saw the way he celebrated there yesterday. It's the simple fact of just the Irishness in you and winning. And Shane loves to win. Like, that was... Like, Shane enjoyed that win probably as much as he did the opening Royal Port Rush. Just the emotion in him and the way he lifts Rory. Like, it means the world to him.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it didn't mean anything to Rory as well. I think McIlroy really wants that as well. You could see by the way they were both charging down those last few holes. It's just a shame, really. The Olympics is 72 holes of stroke play. You're playing your own ball. It'd be fun if there could be a real, you know, representing Ireland, playing foursomes or playing four balls, not just singles.
It's one impressive thing to McIlroy's stats as well this week, on especially in the foursomes. So Shane played, they were playing Shane Strickson ball, and like when you look at that pitch shot that he hit into the last.
Yeah, he got a serious amount of spin on it.
Off of a tough lie, tough shot, all the elements going against him, flew it the whole way, had the trust in it to do it. And like to do that with somebody else's golf ball when you're a professional, and like the little minute details that Rory goes into on his golf ball selection, switching between all the balls that he switched between of different iterations of tailor-made TP5s and 5Xs and whatever he's looking for. But to go to a new caliber of ball like that, a massive change. And like his short game was off the charts.
Yeah, then I suppose he would be used to it as well, having played in so many Ryder Cups. Like, it happens.
It does, but like, no, it's impressive. It's impressive. But no, what we're saying about them both needing each other, what I was saying, and we've gone through the reasons why Shane needs Rory, but I think it's evident that Rory needs Shane as much. And I doubt Rory McIlroy celebrated anywhere near when he won his last major championship than he did last night.
Yeah, that's almost even better than the tournament itself, the way they both celebrated
and
afterwards.
To do it publicly,
yeah,
is massive.
Great.
And that's they did that on purpose, like do that publicly, get up, sing a bit of karaoke, mix it with the fans. And Rory all week had a smile on his face, hit bad shots, two lads pick each other up, and yeah, they kicked on, for want of a better word.
Your phrase.
But no, it was great.
It was nice to see that, because McIlroy's taken a lot of flack, I suppose, both on and off the course this year. Whether he deserves it or not is probably up for debate, but it was nice to see them both sort of, you know, let their hair down and, you know,
enjoy
prop up the shoulders and have a bit of crack.
But enjoy something that you're, like, unbelievable at. Enjoy it, embrace it.
When you win, it's very much like, right, that's gone on to the next one, where the lads were kind of celebrating it and savouring it last night.
Yeah, no, and I think they'll be celebrating long into today as well. Like, they will. And I think Shane is a good influence on that. Like, you talk to Shane. I know I've talked to Shane after his wins, and he always makes a point. Like, it's a little different for Rory, but not very different. Like, you have to celebrate your wins, because the downtime and the losses are just so many and so frequent that you have to celebrate them well. And I think this is going to have a massive impact on Rory McIlroy. He went in, he's already, which he never does, even when he wins like a Canadian Open or stuff like that, he never straight away commits to the next year and said, yeah, I'll definitely be back here. And Larry, like, it's like Larry had him warned already, yeah, we're coming back here next year, Sham. Like, there's no chance we're not coming back here. So, no, it's really, really good. And, yeah, just, great to see.
Just show us drunk decisions are the best decisions.
Yeah, Christmas points, and the boys decide to go and play this event. And that's it. You can imagine that, like, it reminds me of that scene in, like, The Hangover with your man, is it Alan, doing all the maths on the thing. Larry sitting there with a few points in front of him going, how can I convince this lad to come to New Orleans with me and win me a card?
No, it's like How I Met Your Mother, when Barney and Ted go, we should buy a bar. We should totally buy a bar. And they go and get a bar.
No, but it was it's paid off anyway. But no, I think we're going to see a different Rory McIlroy. I hope, you know, the way he's gone about things over the last number of years, and he's tried to do the right thing by the game, he's tried to do the right thing by himself, all the different ways he's led into the Masters. I could definitely see a bit of a distance at the top of the game with Rory now, with the like a Tiger and stuff like that. I don't mean a distance as in they're falling out, but I think Rory is looking at a different path. It's more of an open path. Rather than the closed shop that he has been, very like Tiger, and going about his business in that way. I think we're going to see a much more go out there and try and have a bit of fun, express myself, and not, like, when you get to the Masters, don't try plot your way around. Like, enjoy it, embrace it.
Yeah, just go
have
for
a bit
it.
Of fun and go for it.
Yeah.
And the fact that this is happening now and there's three majors left this year, it's game over. It's ball burst. Rory's going to win them all. I'm buying in.
Shane said one of them will win two, the other will win one.
Yeah, exactly. It's funny,
like, he's played poor stuff this year, McIlroy, and he's two wins now.
Yeah, no, I know.
Like,
yeah,
he could easily end up with three or four wins.
Poor stuff statistically, like, with a couple of bad holes thrown in. But his golf has been really, really good, and he'll admit himself, I've played some of the best golf of my career, but mixed it in with some of the worst.
Mm.
And that's just a byproduct of it. But he'll tidy it up. But yeah, Rory McIlroy having fun is, yeah, it's big trouble. Like, when you compare, and you can see how relatable Rory and Shane are to a global audience. Like, we're spoiled with it here, but, like, Scottie Scheffler's won everything there is to win this year, and he goes to feckin' mass after he wins the Masters, and then rocks up
God,
the next
thank the
morning.
Lord.
I know, yeah, no, I know. Nothing against mass. There's nothing like a good mass. You know, I love a good mass. But, like, you just can't. Like, you have to let your hair down, and to do it publicly as well, yeah, is what the Irish tend to do best. And, yeah, they've went and they've done it, like I said.
I think a lot of people are expecting something as well, given the scenes on the bus after the Ryder Cup too.
Yeah. No, it's really good. And I had to laugh at Shane when, like, of all the tournaments that you win jackets, you win big trophies,
win
and all that.
WWE
belts. They give him a belt. It was like fucking, oh, stop.
The Intercontinental
Tag Team Champion. And the one comment Shane made, I don't know, did you see, like, the outtakes when he was doing stuff afterwards? So he was getting ready for an interview and they were getting the belts ready. And he just looks and he goes, Jesus Christ, I don't think that's going to fit me. And they're trying to get the belts open to get it onto him as well. Yeah, it was like the Heart Foundation. Yeah. No, so it was good crack though. No, really, really good and great to see. And yeah, more of it. I'm hoping we're that. I don't know where that puts our predictions. I know Mark put us all on the spot at the start of the year as to where does that count as ones or twos, or we forgot about this.
That's probably counts as one each, isn't it?
One each, that's the thing.
Yeah.
So we're well on the way. We've wins everywhere.
Well on the way.
Should have got a three ball going.
I'm fairly sure probably one of us said Larry wouldn't win on the PGA Tour this year.
Yeah, it wasn't me. I said he would. I think.
We'll have to go back on that one.
Yeah, no. So it was good. It was good to see. And yeah, great momentum for the lads now going into the rest of the season, especially Shane. So yeah, more of the same. What else are we looking at?
Yeah, we had a couple of good tournaments for the Irish as well. It's been a good week overall. Like, Tom McKibben, into the top 20 on the Race to Dubai now after a 7th place finish at the ISPS Handa Championship in Japan. Bit of a weird one for Tom. He was kind of in and out all week, 69, 64, put him right in the mix. And then a 71 on the Saturday kind of dropped him out altogether, but finished off with a 65. And again, like, top 20 now, Race to Dubai, still very early in the season. Like, he's going to be right in there trying to get that PGA Tour card. The time cards,
yeah. That's his only goal this year, just to get in there. It's one thing I'd love to see on, like, if they change the format. Or like, I'd love to see Rory go back and defend that title next year, but bring Tom McKibben with him. not Shane, you know, so, but that's never going to happen. But yeah. Yeah, no, it is good to see Tom. Tom is, you know, we've spoken about him to death all year. I did watch the Callaway thing that he had on at the weekend as well from Royal County Down, like a live video thing that they'd recorded before, and it was good. But
his consistency is remarkable. Like, he's only played 10 times and he's got 3 top 10s now.
Yeah, like, it is class. It is really good. It's really good. And then on the Challenge Tour as well, Purcell's into the top 20 on the Challenge Tour Order of Merit as well, I see.
Yeah, Purcell's gone well. He's taken advantage of that UAE swing, did a couple of tournaments in Sadia Beach and Abu Dhabi Golf Club. Finished 4th and 6th in the two of those, so bumped him right up into 17th in the Road to Mallorca rankings with the top 20, earning DP World Tour cards at the end of the year. Obviously still very early in the season, and there's a long way to go between now and November, but, like, again, he's been quite consistent over the last, you know, few weeks as well. It's a bit harder for him than it is Tom to kind of keep momentum going. He's back now, there's no tournament for a couple of weeks, so at least he's come back with a good run of form behind him. And I think it's something that he needed as well, because he was kind of, you know, looking on the outside looking in there, he's around 35th to 40th the last few weeks. So now he's right back banging the mix.
Yeah. He loves the desert, doesn't he? Loves a bit of sun. Like, he's, you know, yeah, he kicked on well a few years ago down in Australia,
yeah.
When he was playing that tough, like, really tough, windy, sandy conditions. Now he does the same out in the Middle East, and for a man that honed his trade in Portmarnock, you know, he likes a bit of heat and sand.
Well, like, he's been consistent this year as well. 7 tournaments, 6 cuts. Just hadn't had any top 10s up until the last couple of weeks. So if he can cement his place in the top 20, the longer he can do that, like, the easier that grand final is going to be.
Yeah. Was there any of the other lads? There was a few of the other lads on the Challenge Tour, wasn't there?
We had a few playing, yeah. Dermot McIlroy is kind of starting to knock on the door a little bit. He just can't quite put the 4 rounds together. Like, he was in the mix, I think, at the halfway stage as well, and he kind of just faded away over the weekend. Rounds of 69, 68, 75 and 70 gave him a 25th place finish. Like, he had a chance to win last week as well after 2 rounds, and I think he finished last. Love him. But Gary Hurley made the cut as well, and scrolling down, that was about it. John Murphy again, like, I think that's his 3rd cut miss by a shot.
Yeah, no,
I feel bad for him.
It is tough when you're consistently just on the bubble, on the bubble, on the bubble. It's a tough one. But no, it's at least they're there, they're out, they're playing, they have access to the events. Like, they're coming into a really busy schedule in mainland Europe now in the next couple of months. So there'll be plenty of opportunity for the lads, and it's good to see that they're there, thereabouts. Like, especially for John Murphy, you know, he's 1 week away from a really good event. Like, it's not like he was last year, missing cuts by a long way and really struggling to find things and struggling just with how he went about things direction wise and where he was at with his game, whereas now, you know, he's knocking right in the door, 1 good week and he's,
yeah, well, he's shooting good scores. Yeah. Just the cuts are so low,
yeah,
on the Challenge Tour, some events, like, it can be so hard to make it over the line. Like, he's shooting plenty of red numbers.
Yeah,
it's just about just 1 week getting in there and
doing it in
hopefully
round
kicking
one.
On then.
Yeah, exactly. Live Golf. Did you watch any Live Golf Adelaide?
I watched Lucas Herbert's caddy get absolutely obliterated by a bottle.
Bottle job,
yeah.
That's mental. Like, I don't know
what did they expect? Like, this happens at the Waste Management Phoenix, yeah, and everyone's up in arms over it, yeah, then. So, you know, you're gonna try and mimic it. This is gonna happen, unfortunately.
I've no time for this shit at all, of throwing stuff on greens and from stands and, like, it's the 1 year that Liv have me. I'm watching it. I'm actually engaged in it. I'm following the team things. I'm enjoying it. I think it's
just because it's in Australia, though.
Yeah, but that was a hard watch because of the time difference. It was, you know, you're up at stupid o'clock in the morning to watch it if you do want to watch it. And I didn't. I watched the highlights and, kept up with it that way. But yeah, some of the new stuff coming out from it, it was kind of, I'll not remember much about this event, just the caddy getting hit in the head by a ball. And yeah, that's not the way they want to be. Like, so many positive things happened at this event that I know you were highlighting before we came on, like 94,000 people through the gates. Like, it's off the charts, the success of this tournament. Ian Poulter went live and I actually logged on the other day. Like, it was a music festival he was at a golf tournament.
Yeah.
And, like, each to their own, that's what LIV are looking to do down in Australia, and they're catering for a specific audience, and it's there and it needs to be catered for, because the PGA Tour have absolutely ignored it for decades.
Yeah, but you look at the crowds that the Australian Open and the, I think they have a handed championship as well down there, the crowds they get for those as well, like, are absolutely off the charts. Like, we talk about Ireland for crowds, Australia's as good.
It is as good.
Australia's as good. And I want to make one thing, like, I saw on someone's Instagram story who was actually at the event, Bryson's so interactive, like.
Yeah, yeah.
Bryson doing, you think he was working on his putting on the practice screen, and he started doing challenges with the crowd, like, and it was great crack. Bryson's a great man. Bryson's a great man. That's what I mean, like, that's what the PGA Tour should be doing more of, like, LIV. Like,
but they tried it.
LIV are going to go to Sentosa this week in Singapore and play in front of about 10 people again.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas with Australia, they have a market that the PGA Tour aren't in, where they can just take full advantage.
Yeah.
And there are things that LIV, you know, do quite well, and I think Australia shows a lot.
There are lots of things LIV do well, and that's the thing. That's what should. Why do you think we're seeing such evolution on the PGA Tour? Like, they're trying to evolve their product to keep up with whatever's going on the LIV side, and even though they're talking about joining up and cozying up and trying to form, like, they're still two ends of the opposite side. They're just, like, looking to do their own thing. But now it's yeah, they're, like, the PGA Tour tried it. Like, they went WGCs went down to Australia 15 years ago, and, like, 10 of the world's top 15 didn't bother showing up.
Yeah.
Tiger included and stuff like that. You know, all this growing the game bullshit talk. Like, they just gave it a swerve. So, like, you can't have it both ways, and it's good to see LIV catering for it. And, yeah, yeah, like, everyone has their own opinion on LIV golf. Be it they like it, they love it, they hate it, but, like,
what McIlroy and Larry did, people were kind of brandishing it as a bit LIV-ish in their criticism. But, like, LIV has some innovative stuff. Like, if LIV do that and it works, so why can't the PGA Tour do that? Have those big celebrations after events. You know, get the public involved.
Well, that's it.
Like the F1.
Yeah, well, someone come on, which I laughed on social media, one of the first comments. So that when I woke up and I seen the videos of Journey and Rory and Shane up singing, and Rory was doing all the singing. So when I seen that, and one of the first comments underneath it was, oh, you wouldn't see this on LIV. And I was like, are you joking me? That's exactly what LIV is, like, built on.
Yeah.
This is what they did before they had a tournament. They launched their first tournament with a concert.
Yeah.
Like, this is what they do.
Chain smokers.
Yeah, this is what they do. It was good to see. And, like, scrolling down the leaderboard, yeah, they didn't get the, like, I'm pulling.
No, it was a slow burner, this one.
It was a slow burner leaderboard-wise. So, like, you can tell why I didn't get up to watch it. Like, Brendan Steele, Louis Oosthuizen, and Charles Schwartzel for second and third. Now, you did have, like, the like of Neiman and Ram and
Ogletree,
yeah. Mito Pereira up there as well. All Abe Anser, all only a couple of shots back out of that. But good scoring over three rounds. The team stuff really saved it for the home crowd, because it was the Aussie team, Ripper GC, with Cam Smith, Herbert, Jones and Leishman. Winning, claiming that the team event, you know, that was quite tight as well with Stingers.
Yeah, I think they won it in a playoff.
Yeah, it was Stingers, yeah. Both on 53 under.
Australia getting one over on South Africa always goes down well. Anthony came dead last again
with Poulter as well. Yeah, speaking of Poulter, like, down there, like, it's shocking. It's the one thing that's letting LIV down now as a product is the quality at the bottom. Whatever about having, like, the whole idea of this.
But, like, I feel when you look at LIV leaderboards, you're almost more inclined to scroll down to the bottom first.
To laugh.
Who are the shite boys down here?
Where's Mickelson? Yeah. Where's Poulter? yeah, Harald Varner as well. Like, some of them just haven't done anything, like. And they're, like, they're on big contracts, but, yeah, that's their problem. LIV's problem. But yeah, I was intrigued by the live stuff. I Singapore this week, probably not as intrigued. No. Like, no interest.
And again, poor time difference for yourself.
Yeah.
You big live head.
Exactly. Poor time. They need to bring it to Ireland. Doing big. Trump, come on.
Again, that would get big crowds.
It would be deadly.
That would get big crowds.
It would be deadly. It would be good. It would fit in well. So, yeah, we could have it like a double header. Slane Castle and Slane Castle and Doing Big. Get it going, lads. Get it going. Get Greg on the phone. Yeah, outside that then, roundup of different things that happen and then we'll get stuck in. Like, there is other news that we'll
get into,
touch on in the end and get into. But yeah, it's what else was happening around the tours? And on the women's game, see, Olivia Mahaffey was, she finished anyway.
She got over the finish line this time. Yeah, exactly. Look, fair play to her. Like, she was bang out of it after the first round, I think. And it looked like she was going to, you know, just miss another cut. But she came back, like, from a 79 with a 68.
Really good.
Like, fair play. And then, obviously, a 74, 71 at the weekend. Not much there, but finished 44th. And surely she'll take a serious amount of confidence from that 68, because there was pressure on that, like.
Yeah. No, it's good to see her back doing, like, she has had a tough time of it. And then just juggling the cuts this year, but to do that on a Friday and play your way in, and yeah, she'll...
getting plenty of regular action, which she wasn't doing last year either.
Yeah. Steph Meadow as well on the LPGA.
Yeah, kind of middle of the road stuff. She had opened up, I thought this was great, opened up with a bogey on her 10th hole in the first round. So first hole of the week, then carried it 26 straight pars, no birdies, and then she kind of had a rough one. She made the cut on the number, but she never really got going at all. Again, didn't really make a lot of birdies, which was her downfall. Hannah Green won the JM Eagle LA Championship for the second year in a row, but it's all about next week. All about this week. Cognizant Founders Cup. Nelly, 6 in a row. Let's go.
Do you think it'll happen?
I'd love it to happen. Like, it'd be some crack.
Like, we weren't online last week. We didn't do a pod after that last week, but, like, it was some performance by her.
Ah, frightening.
Like, she really is. Like, her and Scottie Scheffler, and the women's game needed to see someone distance themselves from the pack, because we haven't had...
It feels like she's put the women's game on the map over the last month.
Yeah. Yeah, she's definitely, because it was, if you were to go through the last 20 majors in the women's game, there's very few multiple winners.
Yeah.
And that's what the golf kind of needs.
Needs someone, it needs to a string dominant off player. Three, four,
yeah,
five,
exactly. And that's when the women's game got all its headlines through the Anarchy years and the Seri Pack or Park and all, you know, there's so many of them that did so well by winning in clusters, and we definitely need Korda to do the same.
It's some sport and family, though, the Kardashians.
The Kardashians. No, it was good. I've seen Olivia Costello done well at the Girls Under 16 Amateur.
Yeah, she was third at the Girls Under 16 Amateur at the Berkshire. She played in the final group on Sunday as well, which was good. And look, she wasn't out of the mix at all going into the back nine. She was only two shots off, so... In front, in absolutely dreadful conditions, my God. We've had good weather here the last couple of weekends, but God, the Berkshire did not get it. Wind and rain and all sorts came their way. A couple of podium finishes as well, like Matt McLean, second at the George L. Foreman in the States. He's got some record in the US, actually, for those big events.
Yeah.
He goes really, really well in those. And Mairead Martin won the Cork Scratch Cup for her second Scratch Cup of the season. She won that by four shots on 7-under par. So that's all the Golf Ireland roundup stuff.
All the Golf Ireland roundup. And then one of the biggest things last week, first professional tournament as well. You have Alex Maguire goes and puts a serious final round in. A serious week that he put together to finish runner-up in his first ever pro event on the Alps Tour.
Yeah, and he's second, missed out by a shot. Shot a final round of 68 as well. So it just shows he didn't back off. And a nice little paycheck as well, just over $4,000. Like, nice for a young
lad. For
your
first week's work.
Yeah, like...
Proper week's work,
and you need to be... I suppose if you're going to break even on the Alps Tour, you need to be coming at least in the top five, you know, to get a couple of grand going your way. But no, this was good. Just a shame now there's no tournament, I think, until mid-May. Yeah. Like, I don't understand. Like, they've already taken a big break before this event in Tunisia. Now they're taking another big break. Like, that must be so hard for those players trying to make their way and you're just not getting any chance to get any run of form or momentum behind you.
Yeah, we must get him on actually and have a chat over the next couple of weeks and see how he is juggling that and all the pitfalls of that he's encountered already, because he's only a couple of months.
Yeah, he played a couple of Challenge Tour events in India and things didn't really go his way, so it's nice to see him getting up there and, you know, getting a taste for trying to win as a pro.
Yeah. No, no, it's good. It's all good. Right, like, of all the other things that sticks out that happened in the last week, it's all seems to be riddled with Golf Ireland all over it. So anyone that hasn't seen the stuff, so there's a thing not introduced last week. So Golf Ireland haven't really come out yet with statements, or they've released stuff to clubs at their AGM around a thing called iGolf. So is what they're calling it. And it's basically where Golf Ireland are exploring the options of a player that's not a member of a golf club will be able to register with Golf Ireland, and they'll administer a handicap directly, not through a club. So the internet kind of went into meltdown last Tuesday, Wednesday, as John Farron, the secretary manager from Up and Ballyliffin Golf Club, released a statement out and emailed in to Golf Ireland with his gripe as to what is happening and what has happened under WHS and what is proposed under this, and outlined some really, like, he was very good in how he outlined exactly what he feels the problems are, what should be done. And then this correspondence went public, and between ourselves and Golf Central, with Donal Hughes, Golf Central Daily, the Doc, put some stuff out, and I kind of just took off online. And yeah, I don't know what you've seen or thought of it, or what are your views on iGolf?
I can see why it would work, because if you're someone who only plays maybe the odd casual round of golf every year, or maybe someone who wants to commit more to golf but doesn't have the time to, you know, or the money to pay a full membership, who can't really justify paying a big fee, it makes a lot of sense. But for, I suppose, the smaller golf club who rely on those big visitor green fees, and these guys are going to be coming in for maybe a quarter of the price,
could be catastrophic.
It's very unsustainable for those clubs.
It just raises so many questions, like, and we're actually going to do a full podcast on this. We're going to try and get someone from Golf Ireland, someone from maybe the Club Managers Association or something like that over the next couple of weeks to go on and have a chat when Golf Ireland have released exactly what they're trying here or what the goal is. Because, like, they're not trying to do it to, like, if you were just to read all the stuff online, your understanding of it would, what are Golf Ireland doing? They're trying to destroy the game. Well, they're not. Like, they're trying to grow the game.
Yeah. But, like, this suits a load of people that I know who have other things going on at the weekend, so they can't play golf. Hence why they don't want to pay, you know, your big premium for a membership at a golf club. And why would they if they're not going to be able to play? So this would suit the golfer that can play 10, 12 open competitions a year, and that's it. Like, that's, and I say, yeah, go for it. That's for you.
It's how we define open competitions is the thing. And that's, like, I think the whole system needs looking at. In the same way as we torpedoed the old Congo handicap system, and we now have WHS. And, yeah, it's had its teething problems, and it still does. And there are serious issues around that, and the administration of that, and the input of scores and how it's gone. And we're dealing with it as it goes along. But I think how golf is looked at by golfers in this country, how clubs, like, what is a membership? Who is it for? Are we, is golf, if we were to take the top 25, 30 clubs in this country, say we look at our top 100 list, and we take those clubs, like, does it really affect them? Probably not. Not the top 10, 20 anyways, the haves and the have-nots of people charging £200-300 a green fee. When you go to the middle section of clubs that really depend on open competitions, it'll have to be looked at, and there's so many different areas. They'll have to look at it as in, from a green fee point of view, are we selling green fees from that middle tier of golf in this country too cheap? Is golf too cheap in general? Is it, like, should golf courses, should we, if we're taking so much of the US model in, as in the WHS, the system that's the same as the American system, they're looking at this iGolf, same as the American system. Does our membership model need to be more of a private members? Do our clubs need to be private, that you, if you want to play a golf club, you play it with a member?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I'm just asking
these
questions.
Golf is too cheap. Like, you can play some great golf courses in this country, play an open competition there for, you know, 35 quid.
And that shouldn't be, you shouldn't be able to do that. And this is probably an easy way for golf clubs to protect that revenue, is to anyone that's a member paying a membership to an affiliated golf club, pay that fee. And if you're an iGolf member, it's 60 quid. That's just the way it is. You can play in the same competition, but that's it. But yeah, there's so much to debate around this, and so many, we'd be doing it a disservice just you and I talking about it here and going through. And I'm sure there's people screaming down, listening to the radios or listening to this pod, saying like, what are you talking about? Is it like, is golf too expensive? Like, there's so many different layers to this. And I do agree with a lot of John Farron has put on the record as saying, and he's presenting his side of the story, but there are, like, the Golf Ireland side has yet to be relayed back to the general public. And I would question, the only thing I would question from Golf Ireland is the messaging strategy around this. Why it was not communicated properly to mainstream golfers. I know they're going on video calls up and down the country now of different pods of golf clubs, and they're explaining it, the positives, the pros, the cons of all this. They should have come out to the general public. Like, they, and by their own admission, they made some serious errors throughout communications, throughout COVID, and throughout just keeping people in the loop as to what's going on, what their plans are. Like, they're a members organisation. And yeah, that's the only thing I would question, is the messaging around this. It was relayed around the AGM to clubs that were in attendance and that, and then they've gone out on this. But the general public are, a lot of them seem to be up in arms, and it's fueled by information all from kind of one side on social media. And yeah, it needs a balanced debate. Yeah, like,
the information not necessarily coming from Golf Ireland, I suppose, is
an
issue.
They need to come out and outline, like, what is it? Why is it? Why are we doing this? What are the targets? How are you going about it? Why are you doing this? Why now? And show us the stats from other countries that this has happened. Like, that's all. There's so many unanswered questions, and that's creating a lot of pissed off people in the industry and golfers in general. And they're big decisions. They are big decisions. Like, we're talking about different clubs. Like, clubs could go out of business if this isn't done right. And that's not an over-exaggeration. And I know people take the piss out of clubs, like, sleeving them on, that you pay X amount and you've half a Dublin that's a member down there or doing whatever. And it's a done thing. It's a distance membership that you pay your 200, 300, 400 quid, I don't know what it is, and you join there. If iGolf was to launch tomorrow and charge 100 quid for a handicap, they'd probably be left with 50 members. And I think they've more members than any club in the country at the minute. So, like, it's going to be catastrophic to some business models, the way this is. We just don't know how it's going to roll out. And yeah, there's lots needs to be done and lots need to be debated on it. So we could do it to death, but yeah, I think we'll have to get industry experts in here and actually quiz, have a chat with them and have a proper open debate with, from two sides of the fence, so that both can get their point of views across. And until Golf Ireland come out with an actual strategy around iGolf to the general public, there's not much we can actually do. So we're pushing them for it, and we're hoping to have something in the next print magazine and up online the next week. We've asked all these questions, but we're just waiting. So
TikTok.
Right, what else do we have to hit on? Have we hit on everything?
I think we've hit on everything. Like, it's been good to get back into the routine, I have to say. It's been weird since I sat at this chair.
Yeah, no, I'm the exact same. I hate video. Like, I really enjoyed the video chat we had with Gary Murphy.
I came out of that one looking well.
You're big Brian Harman head. But no, yeah, in person is the only way. Like, I hate the, just, yeah, it's hardship doing it online. So yeah, we'll be at it weekly from now on anyway. But heroes and villains, drop it on you.
My hero, I was going to say it's the fella who launched the bottle, but I need to be a bit more mature. So I'm going to go for McIlroy for having a pretty good vocal reach, I have to say.
Yeah, no, he
singing
did.
Was all right.
He hit the high notes. He did, yeah. And the mic drop at the end was good. Yeah. Did you see that? Yeah, like Shane Lowry. I'll give Shane the hero for the week because he protected his mate. Did you see when they're up there singing? Yeah. And the dopey cameraman picks up the tricolour and goes to hand it to Rory. And Rory, like mid-song, goes to take it off and then realises this is a shitstorm waiting to happen. Yeah. And Shane grabs the flag and throws it back into the crowd. And like, just like, yeah, we won't be getting involved in any of that politics shite.
No, and I hate this whole nonsense that I get from Rory, from like, not non-golf fans, but love to...
Yeah, love to mix Rory,
you shite at the majors or lets a major slip or at the Masters or the whole Olympics thing and whether he's Irish or not Irish. Who gives a damn? Like, he's playing for Ireland in the Olympics. That's all that really should matter.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you look at all the Ulster heads who play rugby for the Irish rugby team. No one goes and battens down their houses asking where they stand. What shade of green do you prefer? It doesn't really matter.
No, no.
Like, Irish golf's in a great place because of Rory McIlroy. And that's, at the end of the day, is what's important.
Jesus, Ronan, I'm liking it.
Let's go.
He's turfing the end of a pitch for me.
Need our battering loud in the under-20s final tonight.
Stop, don't talk about
Pumped up now. Let's go.
Don't talk about God. You had to leave it till the end to dash me. So, and you had to mention loud as well, beating Kildare. So, yeah, Kildare is shambles. Sorry, Pete.
Talton Cup's not too bad.
That's our heroes. Who are the villains? I'm going to go straight out with my villains. Yeah, Glenn Ryan, Anthony Rainbow, Dermot Early, and anything got to do with Leinster football.
Jesus.
Go on.
It's a bit strong, isn't it?
Villains. No, villains. Herbert's caddy's head.
Yeah, getting in the way.
Yeah. Lads were nearly trying to have a bit of crack. Do you have any villain?
No, not really. There was too much smiling and waving going on this week, I think, for me.
Yeah, well, if you've no villain, it's the fallback thing. I don't think I need to show you the rule book on the villain. If you've no villain, you just say Greg Norman or Gary Player. They're the two defaults. So you have to pick between those, Greg Norman or Gary Player.
I'm going to go for Gary Player.
Because he hates white bread.
Yeah, and we haven't been on since the Masters, and he said live on like a Sky Sports broadcast at the Masters that the Open's the best.
No, do you know what? Actually, I sat in that press conference. It was the funniest thing ever. I wish I could replay the audio. So they asked Gary Player a direct question. Your memories of finishing second. And his answer was, Winston Churchill was a great golfer. And he started going on about Winston Churchill and about him being like a founding member of the game and all that. Like, it just couldn't be further from anything he was asked. But no, he made some valid points. But yeah, he got on the soapbox as well, which he always does. But no, I think that's it for a week. That's it for a week back.
That's it.
We skipped last week.
We're back next month.
We're back next month. Oh, we'll be back next week. We'll be doing this. Special thanks again to Flowgas for the pod sponsorship. Spot sponsors, as I called them in the past. So we're coming into peak season for... You will see the support that Flowgas give with all the championships that they're supporting with Golf Ireland coming up now soon. And we mentioned people like Alex Maguire coming up and he's prominently displaying Flowgas logo as... are some of our other pros. Front of our magazine this month, actually.
Is it?
Stuart Graham, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Good Tullamore man with the flow. So, yeah, they really are spreading their wings. So visit flowgas.ie and have a look at all their offerings there. They are supporting golf, so it would be nice if you supported them back. So cheers for tuning in. We have our first Irish golfer event, actually, this Friday. There are some last-minute slots available. If you want to go, irishgolfer.ie/events. It's on in Headford New. We've kind of waited until the season was over this year, or till the season was started, till the weather was over, the winter was over, to get cracking on it. So Headford New, I believe it's in great shape at the minute with all the drying that's gone on. So that's our kickoff of our 18 events this season. So irishgolfer.ie/events, still some last minute tee times there available if you're looking for a knock on Friday. So from me, Pete, and from Ronan, thanks for tuning in and we'll chat to you next week. Bye.